welcome to Final Fights. I am Mark Memphis Hoffmeyer, and joining me is Adam the Yodeler Hodgins.
I know it's unconventional to yodel whenever I boost a car,
but
it's my trademark, and I'm going to do it anyways. So it makes my success rate go plummeting down, but it keeps my street cred up somehow.
You failed at 90% of your car boosts.
Right. I can only boost cars that have holes in the mufflers, so they're louder than my yodeling.
Or by very loud areas, like concert halls.
Right. I'm good at stealing from the airport.
Well, yeah. You wait for, like, when there's arena, you know, amphitheaters, that's where you steal cars by.
Exactly.
You wait for a guitar solo, and then you have to do it.
Then you gotta do it. When Slash is playing, your car is gone.
Listen, he's a liability, but he's a dang fine driver.
That's right. Get me behind the wheel. I can't be touched, but getting to the car before the yodeling happens, it's rough.
I gotta tell you, it says something about who you are as a person that I called you Adam the Yodeler Hodgins, and you immediately didn't even consider being a villain. You considered yourself being a good person, and I like that about you, man. I like that you never once just thought, hey, I'm like Kalitri over here. I'm like number 9, the doctor.
No.
You know, I'm Christopher Eccleston pulling this stuff. You just said that you're a good dude, and that's what you do.
I'm a dark elf stealing cars.
So, the last final fight we did was Thor the Dark World, and that's not the best final fight. But there's a lot of interesting moments in it. I mean, anytime you have Darcy running around and Mew Mew and a few gags, like, you're going to have a good time.
If I remember that correctly, that was just a lot of Thor jumping.
That's it. That's right? Funny.
Not a lot of punching.
It's funny you said that because that's all he does. And there's one solid punch from Malekith the Accursed. And actually, in this fight, there's really not that many punches between.
So
I gotta say, Raymond Kalitri, played by Christopher Eccleston, and Memphis Reigns, played by Nicolas Cage. So there's a lot of it opens up with a punch, kick, 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 chair punch, jump.
Yep.
Well, the chair is used to punch Eccleston. And then it's just Eccleston shooting at Cage. I have a theory.
Talk to me.
Okay, you ready for this? Raymond Kalitri. Raymond the Carpenter Kalitri.
Yep.
Hates steam pipes.
Oh, he hates them.
He shot six of them in this scene.
Yeah, he's like the jerk. He hates those cans.
He hates those steam pipes.
I'm going to say this, Mark. I would say that this movie has a final confrontation more than a final fight.
Yeah.
But again, I think, like, when you look at Eccleston and Thor, like, the King of the Elves, the Dark Elves, and Thor in Thor the Dark World, those are two incredible fighters, and they're not really having a great fight.
Yeah.
Both the Carpenter and Memphis have never been touted as being great fighters. One's a business, like a crime boss, and one's a car thief. They never got to their prowess by being fighters. So I feel like this final confrontation, it's very visceral because it would be like me getting into a fight. I don't know how to fight. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I think I'd be throwing punches wrong and I'd be more scared. Like, I think both these guys play a little bit nervous about getting the fight more than like a Schwarzenegger or Stallone. We're like, we're going to go into this and we're going to just, it's going to be what it's going to be. I think they both go in unprepared, but I'm going to say that this movie has what I call the Delroy Lindo equation.
Ooh.
All right.
I like it.
And it shares it with the one.
Yes.
Where it's also Delroy Lindo. And there's the two, there's the protagonist and the antagonist. But then there's a cop who's a third party for some reason who's just hanging out.
Yep.
And he's like the guy in high school when you're like hanging out with the girl that you kind of have a crush on. And you guys are kind of like flirting a little bit. But then there's just some bro who's hanging out who just wanted to leave so you can be alone and get things going on. But Delroy Lindo, he's just there. And he's like, I'm going to get your reins. But he also wants to get, you know, he also wants to get the Carpenter. So it's just this weird like triangle dance where you can't really have a one-on-one confrontation because of the Delroy Lindo equation.
And then you have the Timmy Ollie equation where you have a friend that's like, hey, I'm going to go grab some food. You want some? Yeah. And then they never come back.
That's how they wrote him off screen. Have him get a hot dog.
You want some coffee, Delroy?
Right. What do you think? I'm also gonna say why I like this final fight so much was I think that there was more character development in the Carpenter in this final fight than there was in the rest of the movie.
Yes. Okay. Raymond the Carpenter Calitri is one of the... I love Eccleston, but he's one of the worst villains I've ever seen on screen in a major motion picture. Is that fair?
100%.
He's all gimmick. This character is all gimmick. And all they do is tell you how bad he is, which I hate. You never, ever see him being bad. Ever. Never.
You only see him compromising.
Exactly. Yeah, hey, I got your brother here. We're going to kill him because he screwed me over, but you have to help. Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to kill you if you don't. And he's always making deals. And he's never...
Always making deals.
I hate villains. Not hate. That's a strong word. I just like villains that they're just... You better watch out for old Adam the Yodeler Hodgins. He'll rip your face off. And then someone's like, yeah, right. I heard he ripped 8 people's faces off last week. And then when you meet him, when we meet you, you're like, yodelay, 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 okay, you failed me once. Don't fail me again. And then you're the good guy walking away and you're like, wait, I thought he was going to rip my face off, but he gave me another chance. I'm moving to Texas. He doesn't live up to his carpenter. Like, and also, we've done carpentry before. You've done carpentry, I've done carpentry, correct?
We've all done carpentry before. Yeah.
The stuff he's making is countless hours. So this man is sitting in a boiler room with a lot of pipes that he hates, and he is just sanding his chairs and his coffins.
The amount of time he put into that coffin for a 2-minute bit.
Yes.
Right? Like, that coffin had interior material work. It had cushioning. It had brass handles. It had, like, it was finished. It was fit and finished, ready to go. It wasn't like in the old Westerns where he's made a pine coffin. And he's like, just like, I think that would have worked better in that moment of like, listen, I got a box for you if you don't fail me. But he's put no less than 150 hours into that coffin.
Yeah. No, like the cherry wood, the finishing. And if it's one person, at least 150. At least.
150 hours.
Yeah.
For a 3-second bit of like, if you don't do what I want you to do, I've got this box ready for you.
And then he falls into it.
But there wasn't 150 hours between when the job was failed and Memphis Reigns got involved. So who did he actually make that coffin for?
He just walks people in there and threatens them with it.
That's his go-to bit, is I got this coffin that I've never used but one time.
Yep.
Someone's right?
So you're Johnny One Thumb and I'm Hank Two Fingers. And we're talking. And we're like, hey, did Kalitra show you the coffin? Yeah, he showed me the coffin. And then he gave me one more chance. What about you? Same.
I want to make a thing, Mark, where if I was Johnny One Thumb.
Yep.
And you were what? Terry Two Fingers?
Yep. Something like that.
So we only work jobs together. And when people ask us why, we say, because one and one make three.
And no one knows what that means.
No one gets it. It's like an obscure like reference to our left hands. It's super weird.
And they always hang with the Yodeler.
Yeah, the Yodeler. So that's the thing, is I'm the Yodeler, but I'm also my own henchman. So no one's actually ever seen the Yodeler.
Whoa, that's some Braga stuff right there.
Right? That's what I'm talking about.
That's Fast and Furious Braga.
So, but I want to say, like, what you're saying about, like, Eccleston is a guy who, you know, never really, like, it's all gimmick and it's all hearsay. It's such a drastic difference, and it's almost like a parallel scene. Remember Christoph Waltz in The Green Hornet?
Yeah, oh, that's hilarious.
But he's like, this gun, is it too scary? I got 2 barrels. And then he just shoots that guy. Like, it's just like, why do you need to believe that I am terrifying, so I'll shoot you. Like, he was, like, building his cred, like, to the audience and almost, like, winking at the camera saying, like, I am serious.
Whoa, what about this?
Talk to me.
The initial scene where Memphis Reigns has to go save Kip Reigns, and this is before they've gone to Sarasota Wayland. This is before they've met Tumblr and Freb and Atlee Jackson. This is before Drykoff, Detective Drykoff, you know, before we met Otto, before the Sphinx, any of those people.
Yeah.
When Memphis first meets the Carpenter, they're talking. He's like, oh, yeah, you owe me your life and you owe me 50 cars and your brother messed up. One of his henchmen goes to sit down in one of the Adirondack chairs that he's made.
Yeah.
And it just breaks because maybe it wasn't finished or maybe it was something faulty in the wood and it just shatters. Mm-hmm. And the henchman is frightened. Whoa, boss, everyone's like No one wants to say anything, because was the carpenter's chair bad? The carpenter takes out his gun that we see in that desk, yep. Shoots him, puts that gun back in the desk, so when he runs to it during the final fight, we know it's there.
That's a better movie.
And he's killed his henchman, because we yeah. don't... Because, listen, maybe that Adirondack chair wasn't finished, but maybe it was. Either way, he killed his henchman.
Killed his henchman. It doesn't matter. It shows that he's ruthless, he's willing to kill, and he's ready to go. Yep. Now, I'm going to say this to you, Mark. I'm going to say this to you. Let's look at the crew, okay? We have the whole crew with Memphis Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of Robert Duvall, I think anybody else in the crew would have been a better choice to fight Eccleston at the end.
Interesting. Because I got to say, in this fight, though, the front kick from hell that kills good old the carpenter, Raymond Kalitri, is pretty legit. Yep. And I do like Nicolas Cage's big jump. Yep. And I do like his punch, kick, kick, kick. And then he punches Kalitri with that. Cage is quite a physical fighter in this. And I think I needed to see him in this final fight to be reminded of how good his kicks are. That said, yeah. I would love to see Scott Conn bonk Raymond Kalitri on the head with a pipe.
Right? Just comes in and bonks him. You're going to bonk him? I love that. This scene of with the old Cadillac is my favorite scene in the movie.
Woo! Go for it. Oh, wait. The Sphinx would just murder Kalitri.
Yeah, no. Sphinx needs to be the guy in that fight.
Well, Sphinx would just pull a knife and cut him up in a... Like, Kalitri would look like... Kalitri's Jigsaw. Body would look like the back Jigsaw. Of an Adirondack chair.
Yeah. I believe that.
I'm saying char today. I'm saying Scott. I got some weird stuff going on.
It's okay, because it's all good. It's we make no judgments here.
If I was a villain, I would be Ricky the fish tank Blahovich.
Okay.
So I would have gigantic fish tanks. So when I killed somebody, I would drop them in there with the fishes.
Ooh, swim with the fishes.
Piranhas. What do you think?
I like it.
They're swimming with the fishes.
I think that's a good bit, because it ties into like a classic trope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I would never say swimming with the fishes.
Yeah. No, you never say. It's always implied. It's always implied. I think I would be Stephen the Sahara Williams.
Ooh.
Would be my villain name. And because when I get rid of people, when I knock them off, I just always take them to the desert and bury them up to their neck and leave them.
Yes. I like
that's
it.
That's my go-to bit, is I'm just like, oh, you time for the Sahara, and we give them the Sahara treatment.
And then you go put a fake cactus over their head.
Well, I would lease from a reasonable person a section of land so I know nobody else would be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would just take people out there, and there would just be skulls from prior victims around. And so then they would be buried up looking at the skulls of everybody else who's wronged me.
But you know what you do, though? You put a shrubbery down with each skull. So when planes fly over, they see a lot of shrubbery, not just skulls.
Exactly.
Petrified in the ground.
Yeah. No, 100%. You got to have some kind of oasis cover there.
We're going to get arrested. This is getting dark.
We just got on a bunch of lists.
Yeah, yeah. This final 100%. Fight. Let me ask you a question. So during this final fight, Nick Cage is just bonking on Eccleston. Eccleston runs away. He's looking very svelte, by the way. Eccleston, this might have been his bond.
He was in shape.
Yeah. He's very svelte, is the word I said. So mm-hmm. Eccleston gets a gun. Cage jumps over a desk. Very impressive jump. Then later on, so Frank Passerini's the stunt coordinator on this. He did a good job. He's in tons of stuff. Great driver. The Passerini's are all drivers. Later on, though, Cage falls through a grate. It's the only grate missing in this area. Raymond the Carpenter Kalitri walks up to it, never looks down, and Cage's fingers are just hanging on, and he never notices.
No, he's oblivious. If Memphis Reigns is not directly in front of me, he must be dead.
But, like, even from 15 feet away, yeah. In your periphery, you don't even need your periphery. You see a missing grate and Cage's plump fingers holding on to the thing.
Right. Now, I'm going to say this, Mark, because I don't know the man. I don't know him. But I love Eccleston. Ninth Doctor is fantastic. Big fan of his work there. But he was vocally not happy with Thor the Dark World.
That's fair.
He was, and that's fair. It didn't end well with Doctor Who. Am I correct in saying that, as far as I understand?
Creative differences.
Creative differences. So he's a guy who has a bit of a track record of not loving things he's done.
Yes.
Do you think he looks back fondly on Gone in 60 Seconds?
And
do you think he, at the end of production, he's like, listen, I've made some compromises for this movie. If you're going to kill me, I got to do the Hans Gruber.
And get a bullet off.
And get a bullet off.
Yeah.
Because I watched that and I was like, oh, he is just pulling a Gruber right now.
Yes, I think he said that. This role is so incredibly underwritten that you need to give me something to do. But if we look at his career, he had done Shallow Grave in 94, which was his calling card. Then he did, Cracker, Hearts and Minds. He did Our Friends in the North. Then he did Jude. Then he did Elizabeth, which was a big role. Then he did Existence. But then he had a couple...
Existence.
Oh, Existence. Good call. And then he had Gone in 60 Seconds, but then he just sort of... He had he was in, Othello, The Others. He didn't have that big 24-hour party people.
Yeah.
This movie, though, does he regret it? It's a nothing character, but it's a Nick Cage film in 2000.
Yeah, I think this is his most visible movie. Yeah. Now, I know probably Thor the Dark World got more people in seats, but he was so unrecognizable in that, I don't think that people think of that as an Eccleston role.
Which one?
Thor the Dark World.
No, yeah, no one knows who that is.
No.
No. I mean, it's just, this one got this, a lot of people saw him. This got him on a lot of radars, but it's not. I mean, this movie put butts in seats, and it probably paid for something nice for him. So, does he regret it?
Right.
No, because it seems like he did 3 days of work.
Yeah, no, his stuff was all shot in one afternoon, it looks like.
And he went method and learned how to make chairs. He went full Daniel Day-Lewis. And so now he has a legitimate craft that he understands and can do.
Right. And it's called Whose Chairs is his business.
Whose Chairs?
Whose Chairs.
Oh, man. They do not break when henchmen sit on them. Like, he sells chairs to criminal bosses.
Now, Mark, I pitched this to you. I said, Mark, have you done Gone in 60 Seconds Final Fight? I think I want to do that with you. And you were like, interesting choice, but let's do this. Because here's the bomb I wanted to drop on you.
Oh, no.
I don't think the final fight is between Cage and Eccleston. I think the final fight is between Memphis and Eleanor.
Yes. Yes.
That's the final fight, is the car ride back. That car is trying to fall apart and break before it gets there. And to me, the Eccleston stuff just felt like at that point in time, I didn't care anymore. I was just like, I cared about him getting that car there. So that whole car chase, that was the final fight to me.
Yeah, I think so. And then this was let's get the villain out of here. And then okay, I got to tell you something.
Talk to me.
Master P and his crew, they're going to come back and try to kill him. They're not going to be in jail for long.
No.
And they legitimately tried to murder him.
Right.
The next movie is them trying to kill Memphis. And probably, I mean, they were trying to kill them.
Oh, they were a bigger threat than Eccleston ever was.
Yeah, Eccleston just, how did he rise to power?
So I was going to pitch you a prequel movie about a young carpenter in a boarding school with a young Cyrus the Virus.
Oh my gosh.
And Cyrus the Virus would always bully him and belittle him. And so the carpenter, who just wanted to make chairs, he didn't care about villainy, he said, I'm going to be better. I'm going to be better than Cyrus at what he does. And so his whole crime ring rise was just him trying to keep up with his high school bully.
And he did a pretty good job.
Right. For doing what he's doing, he's doing pretty all right.
You know what's weird? This crime lord took over his area of town. Everyone's afraid of him. But crime lords always want that little bit more. They don't have to. And that always costs them. It's just, how many times is a soul, like in Commando, right? We're going to take this guy's daughter. And Commando just, Matrix just shows up to the island and kills everybody.
Yeah, blows them all up.
Blows them all up. Just because you want to mess with one dude. Just let him be. He's living in the woods. Just, you have a horribly trained militia, but they would be alive if you hadn't messed with Matrix.
Well, it's and that brings me back to like one of these points where like you look at like Dr. No or Goldfinger, one of these James Bond villains, and it's like if you have enough money to wage this war against James Bond, what do you really have to gain? We've talked about this before. Like what's the net gain from winning? Like 15% more? Like what do you have that you don't that you need more money for? I don't understand that.
Just all the I guess when you just want more.
Yeah. Now, Mark, I'm going to tell you this, why this movie is so near and dear to my heart.
Uh-oh.
This movie was released on my very last day of high school.
Whoa.
And so it was my last day of high school exams. In Ontario back then, we had grade 13, which is OAC, Ontario Additional Credit. So if you went to college, you go to grade 12. You went to university, you go to OAC. So last day of OAC, my last exam was done at 11. And then my friends and some girls got in my car and went to Pizza Hut for lunch. And then we were driving back to the school to get them on their bus. And torrential downpour came out of nowhere. My car hydroplaned right into oncoming traffic, and I just destroyed my car. Head-on collision.
Whoa.
Last day of high school. So then, you know, we tow the car home. I get the loving but stern chat from my parents about what happened and what I did wrong and blah, 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 blah. They were very understanding. It wasn't my fault, but I was involved. So we got the car all settled away, figured that out. And my dad says, well, let's focus on something positive and let's go see a movie. So we go and see Gone in 60 Seconds.
Whoa.
3 hours after I was in a head-on collision. So every bump and scrape in this movie was like viscerally real to me.
Oh my gosh.
It was crazy. So then the next day, my dad went to a farm auction and bought an old 1953 Massey Ferguson tractor that didn't run. Brought it back to the house. And he said to me, son, I'm going to help you rebuild your car before you go to college this summer. But before we turn any wrenches on that car, you and I are going to get this tractor running first. So we had to fix this tractor, get it going, and then we could work on my car. So we got his tractor running, and we named it Elner.
Wow. Oh, that's cool.
Because Gone in 60 Seconds.
That's amazing.
Right?
Oh, that's nice.
So that was my Gone in 60 Seconds, like, emotional connection story.
Well, I'm glad we got that out there for this final fight. Now, I want to talk about three things in this. I know we don't want to go too long, but there's three things I want to talk about.
Yeah, we need to be gone in 20 minutes here.
When he is caught, I like when he sees Eleanor being destroyed and he goes, a unicorn. And then the henchman goes, what? The henchman gets so mad that Nicolas Cage says unicorn. That makes me very happy. And then when Delroy Lindo is cornered by Raymond the Carpenter Calitri, he's like, you don't want to kill me, you'll be killing a cop. And he goes, yeah, I do. Calitri's like, yeah, I want to kill you. Amazing. Then
amazing.
I love when Nick Cage is threatening to break the chair or whatever it is. And Calitri's like, no. And he breaks and he's like, no. His heart is breaking for this chair that he spent 50 hours on. That's a good bit.
The chair smash is my favorite moment in the movie.
Yep.
It's the first time that I thought Calitri was real.
Yeah, a character, because he loves his stuff. And there should have been more of that. He should have shot a henchman for breaking a chair. He should have a baseball bat or a spear of wood that he took, you know, or a stake. Just something, anything.
I think that he should have had his own car.
Hmm.
Like, I thought if
he's
some his own car, but he was very specific about his car. And yeah, it could have been wood paneling on it or like wood dashboard or something. But like, and then there could have been a Memphis Reigns Calitri car chase at the end with Elner.
Oh, yeah. And right? this is how it ends. They get out their car. And no, that's not how it ends. But I just want a sander. Like, I just want Cage, Memphis Reigns, taking a piece of sandpaper and just rubbing it on Caritu's head. And just blood coming off and stuck to the sandpaper.
Unreal.
What about that?
Unreal. I love it. I love it. Now, here's the next question for you, Mark. This is my last question for the final fight. Like, I love this movie. I think the final confrontation was, again, I think the real final fight is Nick in the car. But with the Eccleston and Cage, I love that they don't really know how to fight well, but they have moments of it, and then that feels real. So I like that confrontation. But Fast 9 is coming out soon.
Very soon.
Very soon. I'm going to give you three options, and you tell me who you'd like to see as a cameo or walk on in the after credit scene in Fast and Furious 9.
All right, give it to me.
Cole Trickle from Days of Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
So he walks in as like a driver. He's for that universe. Memphis Reigns from Gone in 60 Seconds. Mm-hmm. Right, he just shows up and he's like, I hear you guys are boosting cars or you're on my turf or something to that effect. I don't know how it would work, but I don't know. Or a CGI Steve McQueen from Le Mans.
Okay, this sounds crazy, but I'm thinking about the tone of the franchise. I love Steve McQueen, but I just don't want to bring him back because I just don't want that uncanny valley. I love that, though. Nick Cage, I love. I love him in Mandy. I love him in Willy's Wonderland. I colored out of space. He's been doing great work. And I'm not saying he couldn't fit in this world.
Yeah.
I just think where these villains have been with Statham, with Luke Evans, with Charlize Theron, having Tom Cruise be the villain in like 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
That would just take, well, but no, Nicolas Cage. Because Tom Cruise, when he enters a movie, he takes it over. Much like Dwayne Johnson did with Hobbs and Shaw. I'm a fast purist. So I want Nick Cage to come in, know his role, be a hero, blow up, and then get out of there.
Okay.
He can't be Sean Boswell's dad. Crap. He's... Whose dad? Oh, wait. He's Jesse's dad.
Yes.
I think Jesse's dad's still alive.
Yeah, because he's in prison. Because when he gets out, we're going to race
him. Yes. And he's done Drive Angry. Like, he's done...
Yeah.
He's done a lot of driving movies. So, that's it. Nick Cage.
Okay. So, as we were talking, I was like, what about if... You know how... what's his... Idris Elba was, like, all RoboCop'd up in Hobbs and Shaw. What if they RoboCop'd up Eccleston and brought him back, and then Nick Cage had to come back as Memphis to help the crew get Eccleston?
The Carpenter comes back?
Yeah.
RoboCop'd up in full makeup just to annoy Eccleston. That's what it has to be.
It's a full prosthetic suit.
So the producers tell him makeup will be 30 minutes, but then it's 6 hours every day.
Right. And Idris Elba had the same procedure, but gets to look like Idris Elba. But for some reason, because of varnish that was in the carpenter shop, they need to cover his face with prosthetics, a metal plate of some sort.
Exactly. And then Eccleston's just salty about it and complains.
That always makes me feel bad because, like, I have such fun watching Doctor Who that I'm like, it makes me sad that he didn't have as much fun as I did.
Just this once, everybody lives.
Right?
Well, thank you for joining me, man. This was awesome.
This has been fun.
I had to watch this fight. I think we covered some good stuff. There's only four kicks and a chair punch in this fight. Yeah. But they hate pipes. We got a Timmy Ollie sighting. We dropped some good gags. We have Nick Cage in Fast and Furious. This is about the perfect episode of Final Fights.
It's the creme de la creme, they may call it.
Well, thank you for joining me, man.
Always a pleasure, Mark.
All right, so for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, and for Adam Hodgins, this is Final Fights. We'll see you next week.